Hello and welcome to The Lawyer Podcast.
I'm Katrin Griffiths, editor of The Lawyer.
And I'm Christian Smith, litigation editor of The Lawyer.
Redundancies. Now that is a word many lawyers in the UK had hoped they might not hear in the aftermath of the pandemic. But after a wave of layoffs hit the US earlier this year, it now seems like it's the UK's turn.
Yes, earlier this month, news emerged that both CMS and Taylor Rose were carrying out redundancy processes as the impacts of rising costs and changing working habits took hold. It's left many asking, what does it mean and who could be next?
So on this episode of The Lawyer Podcast, we're joined by our Deputy Editor UK Richard Simmons and Director of Insight Matt Byrne to discuss what we know, who might be affected, and whether it's the start of wider trouble.
Rich, tell us about CMS and the story there. What do we know? Why is it happening?
Hi, Christian. Good to talk to you. Yeah, so CMS, the news came through earlier this month, 8th of September. We broke the news that there are going to be cuts among associates in their corporate department, and it could affect up to about 19 people. And the basic understanding is that it's down to just a slowdown in transactional activity. So that's what's happening at CMS right now.
And what about Taylor Rose?
Yeah, well, Taylor Rose is a completely different firm in terms of its profile, and it might not be one listeners are familiar with. It's quite new to the scene, but actually it's a huge firm. It's bordering on the UK top 50 now. But unlike CMS, it's very consumer focused. So real estate is about three quarters of its work, and it's residential conveyancing. So it's a very, very different sort of firm. But it's in consultation with employees as well, and it could close its Birmingham office as part of that process. And they've basically said that rising costs and changing working patterns following the pandemic have resulted in the need for us to carefully manage our costs. So that's what's happening at Taylor Rose.
So I think what's interesting here is that there's two firms that inhabit very different sections of the legal market that are being put under pressure, essentially by sort of similar macroeconomic challenges. But actually, if you drill down a little bit, the real reasons are really very different. So if you look at CMS, Christian, I mean, the CMS is a merger of Cameron McKenna, Nabarro, and Allswang, and that happened in 2017. So it was always a massive three-way UK merger. Now, we said at the time, this is a very large beast, and it is a very large beast. And I suppose one of the hallmarks of CMS is that it hasn't actually trimmed since. I mean, when you have a merger of two firms, let alone three, you normally see some bloodletting afterwards. Now, CMS didn't do it. And they're not, by the way, doing it in real estate where you think it might be sort of problematic for them. And they've got a huge, huge real estate practice, one of the biggest in the country. But they are really seeing the problems with a slowdown generally of corporate work. And this isn't, I mean, CMS is not alone in this. You know, you talk to a lot of corporate partners across the city, particularly in the mid-market. It's very challenged. Those mid-market firms that were doing AIM floats, that they were doing general kind of ECM work, equity capital markets work, bits of fundraising, mid-market, so low to mid-market private equity, that sort of, and the funding environment generally on venture capital is challenging as well. So it's sort of unsurprising that a firm like CMS would be feeling the effects of that. What is surprising, I think, is the scale of the redundancies, the proposed, I should say, redundancies here, because we don't know necessarily how many are actually going to go ahead. But if you put it into context, CMS is huge compared to, if you look at Eversheds or Addleshaw Goddard, it has double the number of partners in corporate to Eversheds. They're both national firms. They're both kind of playing in a similar kind of field. That should tell you a little bit about, I suppose, what the leaders of CMS are seeing, that in fact, it's just too big a beast to keep going. And I think there's one thing that I should probably sort of point out as well. They have a gigantic number of 7 and 8 year PQE corporate associates, which is sort of unusual. So I think that there is, in blunt and inhumane terms, they are overstocked. the bigger question as well from this is that I don't think it will necessarily just be associates who feel the brunt of this, because they have a huge number of partners compared to, again, Eversheds or Addleshaw Goddard. So I suspect that there's an awful lot of difficult conversations happening in the partner ranks at CMS at the moment.
It's interesting, isn't it, Matt? Because, I mean, if you look at the UK 200 data, and you're sort of our UK 200 guru here, you know, CMS has had a relatively good year, haven't they?
Yeah, and they're not alone in that, Christian. Their global revenue went up 6% last year to, you know, 1.6 billion. That's pretty good. That is a big difference from the previous year when it went up by about 15%. And I think thereby lies a real tale, because, look, the year before, lots of firms grew very rapidly and there was a boom going on. And now there isn't. And now firms are readjusting. It's not going to be just CMS. I'm actually, you know, we saw Linklaters make some redundancies as well in their Asia offices. It's going to be, and certainly the story that we're hearing when we're talking to managing partners is there's a right sizing going on. Mm. The deals markets were moribund several months ago. They're probably not as bad as they were, but firms could not get enough bums on seats, you know, a year or two ago. So they hired. That's why we had the salaries war. Mm. And now it's the other side of that equation. So there is a certain amount of logic to this. Tough though it obviously is.
My suspicion, Matt, do you think, and I, when you're talking to managing partners, that this is actually going to affect the sort of mid to senior associate layer more? Again, you know, again, when you look at sort of CMS's retention stats, they put a lot, you know, there were eight starters into corporate, which was the second highest of all of their departments. So it's not like they're not, you know, they want to build for the future quite clearly. Otherwise, they wouldn't have put eight newly qualifiers into their corporate department. So that says to me that it's actually a brutal economic. These senior associates are really expensive. And frankly, you know, can we sort of right size the team in a way that actually makes more sense to our margin?
Yeah, and it's also there's another layer of complexity, which is that the city market, the very top end of the city market, actually keeps growing. So one of our data rankings in the UK 200 is the City 50, and that's merging the biggest UK and US firms, London only revenues. Now that's gone up to about 13.5 billion. That alone, and that's up significantly from the previous year. The problem with this is that half of those firms are US. You know, we talked on a previous podcast about, you know, Paul Weiss and their investment. They're not even in that because they're too small for this year, but they will be probably next year. So a lot of that growth has come from rampaging US firms who are looking for corporate and finance associates. So there's a complexity to this. But on one level, that market is still growing.
The problem is that quite a lot of those US firms are quite sniffy and snobby about where they recruit from. I mean, there could be any number of really talented corporate associates at CMS, but on the whole, the US firms going, well, you've been kind of doing those tiny, smaller deals. You don't really have the kind of experience that we want. I mean, I suspect that some of those associates will find very nice homes in aspiring national firms like Shoesmiths or Freeze or, you know, firms like that. I mean, Rich, you know a lot of those firms. They really want to build there. So, you know, hopefully then there'll be a sort of nice sort of positive outcome for some of the associates affected at CMS.
Yeah, and it's the same with junior partners as well, actually. I think we will probably see, as time goes on, a little bit of culling of the junior partner ranks possibly. And there will be firms like Freeth's and Shoesmiths and others who will find really exceptionally high quality partners who maybe just haven't made the grade of the city firms.
I mean, you wrote about this recently, Kat. We're starting to see the consequences of different strategies at firms because, I mean, as you mentioned earlier, Adelschul Goddard is a good example of a firm that did things differently to CMS, and they didn't go out and massively hire during the boom. And so they're facing less of these cost difficulties. But they themselves had a very, very good year last year. They kind of bucked the trend of similar firms.
Yeah, I'm really interested in the sort of the way that firms can become prisoners of their former selves, you know, the decisions that were taken sort of 10, 15, that with the orthodoxy of growth, you know, in CMS's case, you know, bolt on gigantic number of European firms to create a sort of a Varine type structure because everyone was up to it. Now, unfortunately, what that means is that it gives them less room to manoeuvre sort of elsewhere, etc. So, you know, Adelschul got lucky, if you like, because actually the decisions it took sort of 10, 15 years ago are decisions that are actually bearing fruit quite nicely now, that massive investment in transaction services, for example, and a sort of a much more measured European kind of footprint. But who knows? I mean, these decisions, you know, they can come back to haunt you in sort of another 10 years. So it's very difficult to be completely forward looking on this.
I mean, it probably is worth saying that actually it hasn't been a bad year in terms of growth for the UK 200. Most firms have grown. It's not like this is financial crash territory where revenue is dropping and firms firms are really worried. Matt, I mean, you've spoken to loads of managing partners over the course of the summer. How many of them are pressing the panic button?
Yeah, not many. They've grown. What's changed this year is the costs have gone up. Mm. That's the big thing. So their top line has grown, but their margin at a lot of firms has shrunk. And there is an additional wrinkle and nuance this year, which all managing partners are aware of, which is this. It sounds a bit sort of baroque and arcane, but it's the HMRC's basis. I'm going to go for it.
Put your wig on there, Matt. Go on.
I will. The basis period reforms, everybody. They are here and they're imminent. Basically, what it means is it means firms have to find more cash. That's the bottom line. That's what they, no pun intended. They need to pay tax more quickly. There's a whole sort of shortening of the time period in which they can pay tax on a transition year, which is next year, and that means a funding gap. What that means is lots of firms have been squirreling away cash, and we've got actually in the UK 200 this year, we have got data on that, and we think there's going to be more of that. We think there's going to be more capital calls across the city as firms go, right, we need to fund this. This is not something that is arbitrary. They have to do it. And we have to find a way of funding it. And there's only a few ways you can do it. And one is you've got your own cash, your capital, or you go and borrow it. Now, who wants to go and increase their borrowing at the time, right, like now? You know, so, you know, and that's a one-off. That hasn't happened before. And that's something else that just focuses managing partners' attention on all of the costs that they're dealing with. And of course, one of the big costs is salaries costs, if not the biggest cost now.
Mm. And I think that's right, Matt, because I think there's a sort of, you know, something like the CMS redundancy story comes up and everyone goes, oh my God, this is going to be the big wave. This isn't 2009. This isn't 2010. There are multiple different reasons for that. So if you are an associate who's slightly worried about your position because you know that the deals aren't coming in, then you know best, actually, sort of about how the firm will probably react. I mean, one thing that I would say is that there's Rich, you mentioned the Linklaters. The Linklaters made cuts in Asia. I mean, you know, we have known for years that China is an increasingly tough place to do business, not just economically but politically. It's all really, really, you know, it's hard yards out there. And I think we're going to see, you know, Linklaters isn't going to be on its own either. We're going to see some retrenchment there and people rethinking what their strategies are there. That's not so immediately relevant to a kind of a UK audience here, but it does give some kind of context about the sort of the variety and the nuances of actually why firms are having to cut headcount. It's not always the same, oh, we didn't get the deals in for the last quarter at all.
I mean, let's have a look at it from the associate point of view then, because I think there'd be a number of associates at CMS, say, for example, right now, who are sitting there feeling a little brassed off by the fact that they're looking at their firm's overall numbers. They look pretty all right, you know. I mean, things like PEP have gone down just slightly. on last year, but they were working incredibly hard last year, you know, and did very well for the firms, and now they're being laid off. I mean, if you were an associate in a similar team at other firms, would you be worried? Should you be worried?
I think I'd probably look very carefully at the leverage ratio. You know, is it a larger team? I mean, we have, we now have a data set as part of our practice analysis tool, and we can see really, really clearly who the overstocked teams are. CMS is absolutely the number one overstocked team in corporate by an absolute country mile. Now, over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to be sort of telling the market a bit more about that data. But actually, fundamentally, would I be worried if I was in other firms? Yes, I would be, because I'd be pretty aware that the management are really sending out big messages about performance, whatever performance means in this context, I have to say. So I think the idea sort of 2 years ago that the employee could call the shots a little bit, that we're not in that particular, that's not an era we're in this year at all.
I mean, you would have thought that firms would have learnt by now that actually you just hold fire a bit and sooner or later you're going to need associates again. I mean, I don't know if you have any views on that, on whether firms will just hold fire for a little bit longer and try and ride this stuff out and take the hit for a year or two.
I don't know. I don't get the feeling that really people want to take a hit in that way. Mm. I think things are... Because taking the hit means that partners take the hit, and partners are very mobile.
I find that really interesting because, you know, partners hate recruiting, yeah, and partners hate paying recruitment fees. So, you know, yeah. So it does strike me as bizarre that you get partners, you know, maybe it is on a firm by firm or partner by partner basis, but, you know, at the snap of their fingers, they go, oh, let's get rid of them.
I think there's a balancing act to communicate to the partners going, well, actually, you've put what personal financial commitments. I mean, at this point, of course, we get our tiny violins, I know. But, you know...
Well, you talk about firms' values, Kat, surely.
Well, we talk about firms' values, but yes, absolutely, Rich. But I think there's, they are owners of the business and they can see the margins go. And I think they are probably more aware than the associates who are in the trenches about the bigger picture that Matt talked about this basis period reform. And because it's not just one year's worth of pain coming up. You know, this is just the world we live in now. It's just all horrible. Clients, we haven't even talked about AI and actually what clients are going to be expecting there. But, you know, it's never going to get any easier. So I think we're going to get into enter an era where there's constant performance management of an even more ferocious kind than we've seen over the last 5 or 6 years.
I think just jumping in there, for me, the you know, we could do a whole podcast, and I'm sure we will, about AI, Gen AI. But, you know, that absolutely has come onto the agenda this year, you know, since ChatGPT launched. It's now really on managing partners' horizons. And it's very quickly shifted to what are clients' expectations. And I'll tell you what clients' expectations are. It is that their legal work will be faster, cheaper, fewer chargeable hours, and therefore, you know, ultimately there won't be so many people doing it. That is how it crystallizes. Mm-hmm. Now, the reality may not be that at all. The reality may be that it opens up whole new vistas of greatness for associates and firms, and they can, you know, be doing new work and they get rid of the drudge. That's the idea. But there is a question about whether it's right to be charging for hours when, you know, you actually can do a lot of work now at the push of a button, or you will be able to soon. Every firm in the city, every firm in the country, really big UK 200 firms, are looking at this. And how they've all got pilots going out and they've got, you know, committees and steering groups. Nobody really knows. But honestly, the pace of change this year has really accelerated. And I think that's the big new factor that we have to consider as we go into 24.
Well, Rich, let's have a look at the younger end of the associate market and at trainees and trainee retention rates. That data is starting to come through. It has come through. I mean, are you seeing anything different to previous years? Is there anything there to indicate that we might be seeing less appetite from firms for bringing on trainees?
Not especially. I mean, every trainee retention round, you get a recruiter calling up saying, oh, it's going to be a car crash this year. And it invariably is always the same. About 80% of trainees have stayed on at the firms that trained them. I mean, what we don't quite know is what happens to the trainees who leave. Are they being picked up elsewhere, or are they drifting off? We can't answer that. But just from the basic stats, it does look as if life is fairly normal at that end of the market.
So if you were a trainee, I mean, judge based on what we've been saying today, I mean, is there a safe bet for retention? You know, should you be avoiding wanting to go into a corporate team?
Well, I'll tell you what is interesting, actually. It's the same as we've been talking about with the associates. Your best bet for trainee retention is actually to be at a firm that has too few trainees for its needs. Do you want to guess how many trainees DLA Piper has? How many trainees Clyde & Co has?
Oh, blimey.
Coming through, qualifying this autumn.
70.
I reckon 70 at DLA.
All right. You're very close. It's Clyde's had 65, I think, and DLA Piper had 63. And 17.
Oh, check that out. I know my stuff.
17 Clyde's trainees left or weren't retained. 11 DLA trainees weren't retained. How many do you think Baker & McKenzie had coming through this autumn? I'll tell you, they had 16. Isn't that mad? And Herbert Smith Three Hills, only 29, I think, and they only lost 2. Allen and Overy had 40. They only lost 3. So even those quite big firms have far fewer trainees than a lot of these firms that actually have upped their intakes quite dramatically. And that's what happens when you go through mergers. CMS has 60 trainees and 13 left. It really depends on the firm and on year to year. But if you're at a firm with a lot of trainees, there's just more natural wastage.
So I think probably to wrap it up, I think it's really important that, you know, panic shouldn't grab everyone in the legal market. I don't think there's going to be mass redundancies of the sort that we saw in 2009, 2010. But, you know, all of these issues are at play. It's not an easy environment, but it's not something that I think that everyone should be losing too much sleep about just yet.
Well, on that concluding remark, we'll have to leave it there for this episode of The Lawyer Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. As always, we'll be back again in a fortnight. But until then, you take care and goodbye.
Goodbye.